Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Want to transform your skin and challenge everything you thought you knew about clean beauty? Primally Pure is going back to the roots of skincare, literally. Their tallow-based products are grounded in ancestral wisdom and made with grass-fed beef fat. Yes, beef fat. Because sometimes nature knows best. Tallow isn't a trend. It's skin identical, meaning it closely mimics the oils your skin naturally produces. That makes it deeply nourishing, incredibly bioavailable, and wildly effective, especially for sensitive, dry, or reactive skin that's tried everything else. Thousands have made the switch and never looked back. So if you're searching for something that actually works, look no further. Head to PrimallyPure.com to shop their cult favorite tallow deodorant and explore the full line. That's PrimallyPure.com. Your skin will thank you.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, what do you say we do a podcast for you? It's a it's Wednesday. It's nice to have you with us, and Al is here. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. Today, I like to ask Grok the AI various questions.
Yes,
I do love to ask medical questions about Grok.
And although you don't usually get the answers you want medically from Grok, correct?
Yeah, it doesn't. It's never fully committing, but
because it doesn't want to get sued.
I feel like it gave me a pretty good answer, and I kind of was figuring some of the parts of this answer, but it gave me a full answer. My question was this, Jerry. I'd said to Grok, during the day when I urinate, I have a very...
Every day?
No, I said
during the day.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got you.
During the day when I urinate, I have a nice, what I consider a nice stream. But in the middle of the night, if I'm woken up to pee, when I go to pee, it seems very weak. I said, why is that? And Grok gave me a number of reasons. Can you think of some yourself that you would think would...
Enlarged prostate would be one.
But why during the day it's fine and why in the middle of the night it's different?
Your bladder's more full because of what you're drinking.
Full when?
During the day.
Correct.
As you're consuming more water.
That was a correct answer.
And so at night, my guess would be the bladder has emptied but not fully emptied.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do get that nocturia feeling of needing to urinate, and when you do, there's not much there other than the fact that there is something there.
Interesting.
And it's looking to be released.
Mm-hmm. It gave that answer. Excuse me, Jim.
Okay. I mean, I've been dealing with a urologist now almost every month for the last year, so I've heard a lot.
Grok also told me that when you're laying down for that long, that will also affect how the urine is in the bladder and ready to come out.
Sure. Also, the idea that there's liquids all over your body, actually, and I've also been told you can, I mean, no one's going to do this, but if you lie with your feet up above your body for about 30 minutes before you actually want to go to sleep, that everything will drain into your bladder so that the last couple of times you go before you lay down should theoretically empty your bladder. I don't know that I buy that one. That was some doctor I saw on YouTube. I actually asked my urologist about that one. He looked at me like I had six heads. He's like, what's this now? You're going to, and fluids are going to drain from your feet? I'm like, I don't know. That's what I saw.
This is what I read.
I don't know.
Then another one that I had considered often was that when you get up to urinate in the middle of the night, your body is still not fully awake, mm-hmm. and thus your system of urination is also half asleep.
All right.
So it's not as fully present in
not
the
functioning
urine.
Like it would at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
Okay.
So then I said to Grok, I said, okay, Grok, which one's the real story? Which is my real prostate? Yeah. The middle of the day prostate or the middle of the night prostate? Grok said, somewhere in between. That's what it gave me.
That's not giving you a great answer, is it?
Didn't give me a great answer.
That is not.
But at least I got an explanation, a number of different things. The laying down, the body half asleep. Like you said, you don't. It's not as full, even though you think you really have to go to the bathroom.
The one thing I'm learning, too, is, you know, some, like my doctor told me to stop drinking anything, you know, stop drinking by 4 p.m. It's not possible. If I'm laying down at 8 to not have anything to drink between 4 and 8, it's not possible.
Right.
But you can keep it minimal, essentially. You know, 4 or 5 ounces with dinner, that's fine. And then if you're done, you're done, which I could do that for sure, but it can't be nothing. The one thing I did see from, I think she was a Harvard-trained urologist. And again, this is on YouTube, and I just saw this, and I want to bring this to his attention to see if he agrees, is that you should consume 75% of your liquids by noon, basically. But she said between 12 and 2 p.m., so that your body is fully hydrated for the day, and then you're kind of weaning off it as you go, but there's no dehydration. Because one thing she said, which is contradictory to my doctor, is that when you stop drinking completely and try to go to sleep with this empty bladder, your body is, or you're not drinking enough throughout the course of the day, your body is dehydrated and then kicks into, basically your kidneys go into overdrive and start producing urine shouldn't be because you're dehydrated. So it's very interesting. The one that you've always asked me, why 64 ounces of water? Why do you got to drink water? Well, it's to keep everything functioning properly and to stay from getting dehydrated.
That makes sense.
A lot of bad things apparently happen when your body's dehydrated.
Yeah. Do you want to share what's happening with what you have to do?
Yeah, I need prostate surgery. I have an enlarged prostate. Not
very
uncommon to someone that's 51. And the area for the urine to pass through, which I'm just giving you an example. If let's say that's the size of a penny, if the opening is mine's more like, you know, a pinhole, a little
where
bigger
the urine
than that,
flows through.
Yeah, a little bigger than that. I don't want to make it seem like it's that, but yeah, so it's an issue. Now, I have no issues during the day, but at night I do have that problem like you're discussing. And the only way really to, we've tried medicine some more, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I need surgery.
So how do they do that?
In what way, Al?
Like, what? How do they get to the prostate area?
Right in through the wiener.
Why not through? If they could check our prostates through the butt, why can't they go through the butt for the surgery?
I guess it's much closer.
Because I'd rather get a thing in my butt than my penis hole. I would rather not have any.
I get what you're saying. But I do think it's a lot easier going in from the front because the area that needs to be, I can't believe I'm saying this, that needs to be cut down and cut back is closer to the front of your body than going in from the back of the body.
Okay.
And it's essentially a microscopic, like a Dremel. It's like one of those, like, I don't know how to describe it. One of those cutters.
Like, how do they know how to do that surgery?
I don't know.
How do they know?
Not only do they know how to do it, there are YouTube videos, which I did share with you, that show you the surgery at a microscopic level, and you see the cutting and how they do it. It is remarkable.
It is remarkable that I will tell you, to be able to get an instrument through the penis hole and to watch it on the screen, because it also has a camera on it
for sure,
to see where they need to cut back the prostate.
And what's interesting to me is I don't have so much of an issue with having the surgery. It's more what comes after it.
Right.
And what could be side effects. And, you know, so to me, I'd like to give some medicine a little bit more of a chance. And if I'm okay, I'm okay. And if I'm not, I'll do it if I have to. But, You know, even as the doctor said, if you don't need surgery, you don't have surgery. You know, there's no reason for anesthesia and to be cut open, or in this case, slither something through that and then be cutting there if you don't have to. And I do agree with that. If I have to, I will.
Hmm. All right.
So it's
that's an
interesting
one.
You know, I think what I'm grappling with right now, if we can be completely candid.
Yes,
and
please.
And this is not going to come to a surprise to you either, and you know this. I think the thing I'm grappling with is, and even, you know, my doctor, I've seen him every month now for 6 or 7 months. The one thing he continues to tell me is, you got to stop getting up in the middle of the night. Like, you need, you're not sleeping enough. And as you're getting older, things are going to happen if you're not taking care of your body. Now, I do try. I go to bed at 8:30. I get up at 2, and he's like, all right, that's 6 hours. He goes, are you really asleep at 8:30, though?
No. Right.
Like, well, no, I go up at 8:15. He goes, and everything's dark and you fall right to sleep. I'm like, well, no, I put YouTube on and I put Bob Ross on and sometimes I fall right asleep. Sometimes I'm up. And he goes, and you know, you're sleeping right to the alarm. I'm like, well, no, I do get up once. And sometimes I get up before the alarm. And he's like, you're not sleeping more than 5 hours a night. He goes, at some point you need to figure out a schedule where you are getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night. He goes, so I'm grappling with that.
Yeah.
In a position I enjoy with a schedule I love by being home by 11:45 every morning and having my day, you know, you sit there and say, at what point is this come first?
Yeah, it is interesting how we do that. Like, you'll go, oh, no, I slept 8 hours last night. And it's like, no, like, you didn't fall asleep right away. You didn't even go up right away. You had interrupted sleep during your night.
It's really awful.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I mean, you know, I'm hoping to get... Now, I will say... This is where the 7 to 9 hours, to me, I think it's a little overblown. I think people on a regular schedule aren't getting enough sleep. I mean, I look at my wife when she's going to work. She doesn't go to bed before 11:30. I know her alarm goes off at 5:30. So she's not doing much better than me. But the docs, I brought that up to the doctor. He said the difference is she is sleeping during normal time that your body should be used to, meaning the overnight hours. She's not waking up essentially the same night she's going to bed, which we've always talked about too. And so you get to like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, it still feels like the middle of the night. But when you go minute to minute, I don't think she's sleeping that much more than me, but it is a little different.
Yeah.
And it's not nearly as broken.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it is wild, the sleep situation, how our bodies need that.
Hey, everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all, Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Yeah. It is kind of strange. Like, every night we disappear for however many hours. We can't really, you can't remember for the most part where you were, what
you're
you were
conscious.
Doing.
Yeah.
Not conscious. Yeah. Every night we do that.
Have you ever put a camera on yourself at night?
No.
I've thought to do that just to see how restless. So like my Samsung watch will tell me, it's amazing. The sleep scores I get on Friday night and Saturday night are good. The sleep scores Sunday through Thursday night are horrific, whether it's because it's only 5 hours, whether it's because I'm up more than I am, and maybe it's anxiety for the job. I don't know. But clearly I don't sleep well Sunday night through Thursday night. And one of the big reasons it gives me failing scores is I'm very restless when I sleep. As opposed to Friday and Saturday, I get very good restful sleep. I want to put a camera on to see how much I'm moving around and getting up and just not at peace as I'm trying to sleep. It's interesting.
Yeah, Craig Carton one time showed me video of himself sleeping because he had that restless leg syndrome.
Yeah.
And he even, I think he went to do a sleep study somewhere. And it was wild what he was doing in his sleep. Like,
really?
Yeah, like he was like, he had his knees up in the air. Like it was nuts.
Really?
Yeah, it seemed like very, and like before Eddie started using one of those.
The sleep apnea machines?
Yeah, well, I forget which one he uses. But when I shared a hotel room with him during a snow day, I couldn't believe how exhausting it was when he was sleeping, like the amount of energy that it was taking him just to sleep, the snoring, it seemed like, and when he got up, he looked exhausted, as we all do.
Because he's not rested.
But it looked like, oh my God, like you just went through it, and that was your sleep.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah.
And then not to mention the body issues that I've had. What are we doing to our brain?
Oh, forget it.
You know, and I don't, everything you read doesn't mean it can't be regenerated or fixed or, you know, whatever void we've had. It certainly seems like if you get on a good routine, you can. And if you're eating well, that's the one thing I think that you're in very good shape for, is that your diet is so good and you're putting the right stuff in your body. I do think you're feeding it properly as opposed to most people that are eating crap out of a box. But I do worry about that too in terms of what the long-term effect is. And I think at 51, I'm not there yet to be that concerned, but there's a level of concern now as I'm not 35 anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, you wonder, like you said, how long does it take? Because the body does bounce back from things.
It does.
Amazingly.
Yeah.
So,
are you into these fasts?
No, I never kind of got into that.
My YouTube feed is, I guess because I've Googled a lot of different things about sleep and health, and the one thing that I am getting hit over the head with right now on the YouTube feed, and it's from everybody, the Dr. Berg, who I like a lot, and all these other doctors that I follow, is this idea of what your body does. You talk about bouncing back, that if you can do essentially I think the best one I saw is a 14-day intermittent fasting routine, where the first 3 days was 14 and 10. Not that big. I mean, really, that's not a big deal at all.
What does that mean, 14 and 10?
It means you have a 10-hour window to eat, and you don't eat anything for 14 hours, and you figure, and again, there, you know, if you sleep for 8 hours, you're only talking about waking up and not eating for three, and then having your last meal 3 hours before bed. That seems about normal, but we don't sleep 8 hours, so it's a little bit long. But even still, 14 and 10. Then the next 7 days, it goes to the 16 and 8, which you've seen a lot, where the eating window is 8 hours. And then for the next 3 days, it goes from 16-8, it goes to 20-4. So you only have a 4-hour window. Maybe now you're not eating till, let's say, noon, and your last meal is at like 3:50. So between noon and 4, you're eating. And you're eating well, and you're drinking only water and coffee and tea. So you're, you know, doing the right things. And then the final 24 hours is a straight water fast with electrolytes. And again, what you see, I don't know what's real and what's not, but they all seem to have the same imaging that they show on the screen and the same Harvard studies or Ivy League studies that talk about the, if you do a fast like that, number one, the amount of visceral fat that gets just melted away. But the most important part was the regenerating of brain cells and clearing out your head, and that it's almost like you're getting back to zero. All right, now you've done it. Now be smart. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. It seems doable. That doesn't seem crazy. Because I've also seen a 72-hour water fast will do wonder. Difficult to do, though.
That does seem difficult, yeah.
This one, to me, and the reason it caught my eye was amongst all these fasting videos, it said the most realistic fasting for your health. I'm like, all right, I'll bite. That seemed very doable to me, I thought.
Yeah, that sounds doable. The long fast where you don't have anything except
difficult.
The water seems very difficult.
Very difficult, yeah. Doesn't mean you can't do it. It's hard, though.
Yeah.
Very hard.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll look into some fasting.
Graze? That would be hard for you more than most.
Oh, here at work. Yeah, I couldn't do it here at work.
That's the problem.
I could do it on an off day.
Right.
But at work, I've set up little intervals where it's like, ooh, it's 7:20. I get to have my granola bar.
Well, it's so funny you say that because the other day I walked in and I would swear I heard your stomach saying cashews, cashews, cashews. Oh,
you're a little late on your cashews today. Yeah. No, it's like I set up these little reward systems for myself.
Well, I get it. I mean, I'm the same way.
But I don't need it on the weekends. I don't think about it.
I don't. And on the weekends, like I've told you, I don't eat until noon. It's weird.
Yeah.
I'm up at 6 a.m. and my body, for whatever reason at home, I don't even think to eat. Very strange.
Yeah.
But here, I'm starving at 4:30. But I also think that's also because we're not sleeping enough and we're screwing up our body clock.
That's true, too.
So, I don't know.
Remember I told you there was a fire a block away from where I live? There was an apartment. It's not an apartment building. It was it was like it used to be an old beach motel many years ago, and they converted to apartments. So they were caught fire. So the people can't live there anymore until, you know what, I guess it's being rebuilt. That's the game plan. The people that lived there, some of them had cats that they took care of, but they were outdoor cats.
Okay.
But these were cats that they took care of, and they fed these cats, and the cats hung out there. Well, the people got displaced and I think had to go to hotels or if they were able to find another place. I feel like the cats are displaced and I think one or two of them is living under my porch.
Okay, why don't you feed it?
Well, I don't think you're supposed to. I don't know.
Oh.
That's a good question. But the landscaping has become such a jungle where I live.
Really?
That it is blocking out, it's making a nice cocoon for cats to come through and then live under my porch.
But the place has landscaping, no?
Yeah, that's why I think I have to let them know today, like, I think I have cats living under my porch because we've cocooned the whole thing and made it a nice safe place for an animal to come live.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what you do about that. I mean, they're not wild animals.
Right.
But at the same time, they're also cats that you don't get near them. They're going to scratch your eyes out.
Yeah, and the thing is that how I discovered this yesterday was my dog last night was very concerned with what was going on under the porch.
They can sense it.
Yeah,
they can sense smell it.
And then putting two and two together earlier in the day, I heard meowing out there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Probably looking for food.
Yeah. Yes.
Stuff. And listen, I jokingly say feed them or it, but once you feed it, they're not going to leave.
Right. And I know there are other people in the neighborhood who feed stray cats.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Or I don't even know. Like these, I didn't consider these stray cats because people were feeding them. And sometimes I'd walk by, they'd be in the home because I'd see them in the windows.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sometimes they would come out. But you can't bring a cat to, you know, if you have an outdoor cat that's outdoors a lot, I think you can't take that to a hotel if you're,
I think
those people
were
in a tough spot.
Sure are. Boy, they're just talking about leaving it. I never understood the outdoor-indoor cat thing.
Me neither.
I got a friend of mine that had two, that they would let it go wander the backyard and the streets, and then would come in and lay in their bed at night. Well, how do you know that that cat didn't get bitten by a raccoon or something?
Right.
Why? Anything. Or sprayed by, I don't know.
Right, just was out in the elements fighting for her.
And then it's like laying on your comforter. Like, our cats do that, but our cats don't see the light of day.
They
sit in the
out.
Window. They get their breeze. They get the outside feel, but they don't go outside. They're clean. I have no issues with that. The outdoor cats, though, as much as I love cats now, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, because there were two cats that were very unique coloring. That last winter, when it was very cold, I would see them sometimes under my porch.
Oh, really?
And then I was like, they got these cats. What are we supposed to do with these cats? And then, like a couple weeks later, I saw them in the window inside an apartment.
Did you think traitor?
Oh, you don't like my porch. So I was like, okay, so someone is looking after these cats.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And providing them in indoors if they want it. So it was, you don't even know what cats.
It's weird, too, in that they care enough to allow them in and take care of them to a certain degree, but don't really give a crap if they're not there.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, do cats want to be roaming around? I don't know.
Here's what I know. We only have one now because our other one passed away a few months ago. But here's I know a little Callie. Here's where she wants to be, on our lap.
Yeah.
I mean, she sleeps in our lap. That's where she wants to be. In the window, on our lap, on the cat, whatever. She don't want to be out running around. I don't think.
Well, you got her as a kitten. Yes.
Yeah.
So that, I think
she was little.
Maybe sometimes people get these cats when they're adult cats that are like, want to be out in wilding a little
maybe,
bit.
Maybe, because that's all they know.
Yeah, they like to that's be out in the possible. Wild and looking for,
yeah,
scavenging for food. And then if they don't find something, all right, I'll take a can of food. But preferably, I'd like to catch a bird.
Maybe. That's the other thing. What kind of wild animal? What are they eating out there?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we have a couple, in every town's got wild animals. We have a couple foxes in town. I don't know what they're eating. They're eating something.
Yes, they are, because they're still moving around pretty good.
I did find a headless rabbit over by the lake, so I think it...
Poor thing.
The fox definitely catches rabbits.
A headless rabbit?
Yeah. Headless rabbit.
That's a rough one.
That fox was sending a message
I would say so.
To the rabbit community.
Oh, my God. That's yeah. Rough.
Very rough.
Okay.
All right, Jerry. Oh, and finally, you know Nicole from the Scratch Golf came in today? And I still don't know. I'm 56.
Yeah.
How you greet a woman.
I gave her a hug.
I did,
She went in for the hug, so I gave her a hug.
I went for the handshake. She went in for the hug, and I was like, right, I wish it were universal. I have the same thing like when my friend's wives.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's not just like, that's everybody.
Yeah.
Handshake, pound, wave, hug, who knows?
Yes.
Are we kissing? Are we not? I mean, I can't take it.
Yeah.
That's why I love the old, all right, guys, see you later. We were at a friend's house on Saturday night. And this had nothing to do with that other than it was time to go. And if I don't get the process moving, we'll be there another half hour.
The goodbyes.
Right. So I said, I looked at my son, I'm like, you good? He goes, yeah. I'm like, all right, guys, really appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I grabbed the keys. I waved and came, all right, I guess we're leaving. Yes, we are. And you know what? She was right behind me.
Yeah.
If I was, hey, you want to wrap this up? It would have been another 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. If you're shaking hands, sure, hugging, goodbye. You're right. You're there forever.
Which I don't mind. But I also know my buddy was exhausted because he had been up since like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So it was more a matter of, I knew he wanted to get the hell upstairs and go to bed. So I'm like, let's just get out of here. You know, I had a good time there for 5 hours, had a blast, had some drinks. All was good.
Yeah, that's plenty of time.
Yeah, that's all.
All right. Jerry, let's do the warm-up show now. Then we'll be back here tomorrow, 5 a.m. It's a Thursday tomorrow.
Mm. Oh, Thursday night football.
Yeah, plus the Mets.
Not a great game.
What do we got?
I don't know, Seahawks and somebody. It ain't great.
Oh, yeah.
I think Seahawks Cardinals.
Oh, my gosh. I think
zero
you're right.
Zero interest.
Seahawks Cardinals.
Al Michaels is probably sitting in a hotel in Seattle saying, why am I doing this?
What is this?
Now, where's Adam Schein? Let him do this
game.
Yeah,
you're right. Maybe do this one. I'll take a week off. All right, warm up next. So.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.